Glad you're here this morning. We had spiritual boot camp Friday night and Saturday morning. And thank the Lord for that. That was good training for all of us, but especially for our young people as they get ready to go back to school. Some of them have already returned to school. And so that was good training for them. Thank Pastor Andy for coming and sharing. And I think that it was a good time. Okay, try that here. And then yesterday afternoon we had our rice bowl, and so this was some of the shirts. Keep calm and play kickball, the rice bowl. So some of our young people were involved in that rice bowl yesterday. All right, that sound better? All right, so we're glad you're here today. Let's bow for prayer as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. Our hearts come before you. We cry out to you. We ask that you would speak to us. Our ears would be open. Our hearts would be open. I pray that you would give your servant the words to say. And I pray that you take the promise of your Spirit to fill me and to give me the words that would be profitable to us and that would come from you. Our hearts are turned to you with thanksgiving and praise. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. First of all, I wanted to just say a word here about our we've been blessed to have had Jim stay with us and also to visit this church during this month. And so on Wednesday morning, August the 17th, Jim will be returning to Taiwan. And so we want to keep him in our prayers remember him. And I was going to ask him to stand. So, yes. So we want to keep him in our prayers. And be sure to give him your greetings today. All right? Took him to see on this past week, Thursday, I believe it was Thursday morning, we went to UMKC. And he had a chance to visit Calvary University and UMKC. And then after that, we thought he might need a loan for college. So we went to the Federal Reserve Bank and tried to secure a loan for him there. No, really. I did want to ask Jim to explain this to me. Does this mean a smile? Okay. So I want you to be sure to understand that this is not a gun. He is not trying to rob money from the bank. This is a smile. All right. but we've been blessed to have him here. We want to continue to pray for him and for God's leading and direction in his life. Today, we want to celebrate joyfully. The title of our message today is Celebrate Joyfully the Dedication. We've been studying the book of Nehemiah. And we've come here to Nehemiah chapter 11 and 12. And here we see that the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem. Now, I don't know about you, but this past week, how many of you have been watching the Olympics this week? Yeah, sure. It's very exciting to watch the Olympics. But you think about this. At the Olympics, athletes give of their best to their country. I mean, they're competing for their country, and they're giving of their best for whether it be for United States or for China or whatever country they represent. They're giving their best for their country. Noah Webster says that the meaning of dedication is the act of consecrating to a divine being. The act of devoting or giving to God. So we want to consider today this idea of dedication. In Nehemiah first, remember, they rebuilt the walls. And God did a work, and 52 days they were able to complete the walls. Only God could have done that. And then They also then, the last part of the book, been rebuilding the people, the lives of the people. And then we come to this part. Then they dedicated the people. First the people, and then the walls. They rebuilt the walls, worked together, then rebuilt their lives. Dedicated their lives, and then the walls. And so we see today what happened here. You know, in the Bible, we see the dedication of the tabernacle by Moses. The tent that they erected in the wilderness there, where God would come and dwell, and they dedicated that. Then we see the dedication of the spoils of war by David, King David, the things they brought back. They dedicated, they gave it to God. We see the dedication of the temple by Solomon. And then when they rebuilt the temple, Ezra, there was a dedication of that. And then we see here, Nehemiah chapter 11 and 12, the dedication of the walls of Jerusalem by Nehemiah. And Nehemiah calls on the people to present 3 sacrifices to the Lord for the sake of their city. And the sacrifices are what God still calls upon believers, upon the church. He is building in this world. What should we dedicate to God? And let us look here at Nehemiah 11 and 12, chapters 11 and 12. Number one, we must give ourselves to God. Now, they had built the walls, and then they started to rebuild their lives. But they dedicated first their lives, not the walls, their lives. A church is more than a building. Yes, we can dedicate the church building, but the church are the people. We must dedicate our lives. And so we see here what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 8:5. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord. We give ourselves, first of all. We dedicate our lives. You know, think of it this way. God needed people, live bodies in that holy city. First part of chapter 11. It's interesting that they needed people they were living in the villages around Jerusalem, and they needed them to move into the city, to occupy that city, to be a part of that city. You know, some volunteered willingly. They were willing to move into the city. Some had to be drafted to move into the city. So they asked for, sometimes they ask, could you move into the city? Therefore, Romans 12:1 tells us, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true, proper worship. Lord, I will give you my all. Now, I know our cities have great needs in America. And around the world, really, cities have great needs. Now, it's easy for us to move to the suburbs. It's comfortable there in the suburbs. It's maybe the best schools are in the suburbs. Okay? That's fine. But there's also need in the cities. And so, we ought to be dedicated our lives to God wherever He would have us to go. We live for God in the suburbs, but we live for God also in the cities. For 18 years, I taught in the inner city, Kansas City School District. Taught in the inner city. And I guess you could say, for 18 years, that was my mission field. Wherever God puts you, wherever you are at, but we ought to consider dedicating our lives to Him. God needed these people and called upon them to volunteer and even drafted some that they would move into the city of Jerusalem. And then the people who gave of themselves are also acknowledged. The people who worked on the wall, in chapter 3, we see their names mentioned. That's sometimes why Nehemiah is so hard to read, all these names. And then in chapter 7, the people returned with Zerubbabel, the leaders who were involved in that great revival in chapter 8, the leaders who signed their names to that dedication covenant, chapter 10. And now those who were involved in the dedication, their names are mentioned. You know, this tells us something, that our Heavenly Father sees and records what His children do as they serve Him. That's one thing. But also the fact that God uses many people with different gifts and skills to get His work done. So we need to come together and work together to get His work done. And sometimes, last week we acknowledged those who helped out in Bible school, and I'm afraid I missed a couple of names, and I apologize for that. Sometimes it's best just to ask for everybody to stand that was involved in that. But, you know, trying to acknowledge by names those who were involved in that. You know, it's easy to be a spectator, but to participate is the next step. I can watch from afar. Oh, I can see what's being done, or I can participate. I can join in. And whether my name is mentioned or not mentioned, I'm participating because I've given myself and my heart to God. And so we see this take place here. And then number 2, not only are we to offer our lives, give of our lives to God, that's the first thing, but we must give our praise to God, our mouths to God. In chapter 12, we see this. They conducted a dedication service with such enthusiasm that with their shouts and songs, they were heard even afar off. Now, you know, probably most of you know this, but Arrowhead Stadium, where the Chiefs play, and that's they had their first game yesterday, preseason. But Arrowhead Stadium is known as the loudest stadium in all of America. All right? People shout, they get excited, and it's heard. Now, I've not had a chance to go to a game there, but I've gone to the Royals games, but I've heard how loud it is. It's got the record for being the loudest stadium. Now, if we can get excited about the Olympics, if we can get excited about the Royals and the Chiefs, and we can yell and shout, can we not get excited about the things of God and shout and yell and lift up our praise to God? You know, even I'm not very good at singing, but I try. You know, try to lift up my voice to God. And I encourage you to do the same. Lift up your voice to God. And so we see here in this chapter, from afar off, they heard it. You know, can people hear you shout for an Olympics game? Yes, you're up shouting, you're excited. Can people hear you praise God? And so we see here in this chapter, 8 times it mentions singing, 6 times thanksgiving, giving of thanks, rejoicing 7 times. Musical instrument 3 times are mentioned. And so, whatever, our singing, our musical instruments, whatever, if you play a musical instrument, you ought to give that to God and use it for His glory. All these are mentioned. And then Hebrews 13:15 reminds us, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And that sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips that openly profess His names. So we are not just spectators, but we are participants. All right? Now, as the Olympics, there are many of us who are spectators of the Olympics. We cheer, we get excited. But those who were participants, representing all the different countries, that was just another level. Not only did they get excited, but they were part of it. All right? Now, God has called us to be not just spectators at church. Oh, I'll watch and see how things are done here. I even maybe give my word of whatever that might be. But we are to be participants. We are to join in. Where can I help? What can I do? All right? More than a spectator, we're to be a participant. And so we look for ways that we can participate. We look for ways that we can join in. And so they offered praise to God. And I want you to see how this was done. Ezra, they had formed two choirs. All right? Two choirs. And Ezra, the first choir, he leads that first choir. And you see there the red on this map. Ezra leads this choir out here, and then they get on top of the wall, and they march. Whoops, sorry. All right. They march around on top of that wall. And then Nehemiah leads the second choir in the blue, and they march around the top of the wall, going that way, and they meet together at the temple, coming together to praise God. So whether we come from the north or from the south, we come together to praise God. And so they marched. Now, I can imagine Nehemiah's heart. I imagine his thoughts went back to when he first came to Jerusalem. We see here, this map, chapter 2, when the king sent, as remember how Nehemiah had a burden for Jerusalem? And he went there as the king sent him. And at night, he came out and he did a prayer walk. He walked around that city. And he came around this way before coming back in. I think that probably the southern part of that city had the greatest need, that they had the walls were torn down the most. He wanted to observe. He walked around and looked at what's going on here. And so because of his prayer walk, and as they were walking around on top of the wall, seeing what God had accomplished, they're offering their praise. And I imagine Nehemiah thinking in his mind, I remember walking around those torn down walls and praying. Now, praising God. You know, as you look at any situation, you can do what I call a prayer walk. And we see that in the Bible. I want to talk to you about this prayer walk. You walk around your neighborhood. That's good exercise. But as you walk around your neighborhood, you can be praying for your neighborhood. You can be doing a prayer walk. Heard a man recently telling about this. He was walking around his neighborhood. And he said hi to his neighbor. And of course, his neighbor said, hi, how are you? And he said, you know what? I've been praying. I'm praying for my neighbors. And so he said, how can I pray for you? You know, that's non-threatening. People always have things that they need. I'm going through this or I'm going through that. Thank you. I'll be praying for that. So, a prayer walk. We have a Bible study on Monday night at KU Medical Center. So last Monday, there's an apartment building that's across the street where Pung and his mother live. So, tried to get in the front door, couldn't get in the front door, so it kind of did a prayer walk around the building. Tried to get in the back door, could only get so far in the back door, but they would have put up a flyer. Continued to prayer walk around that building, praying for that building. And then, Pung, I don't know how, but I was talking to some people, maybe he heard. He opened the door, so we were able to put some flyers on the bulletin board there at that building. A prayer walk. God lays upon your heart, your neighborhood, or whatever. Walk around that area and be in prayer for that, just like Nehemiah. And then, because of that prayer walk, one day, by God's grace, you will have a praise walk. A march, a praise march. Now, I can imagine these Olympic athletes, And several of them, we heard their testimony. They prayed for an opportunity to go to the Olympics. And did you watch that opening ceremony, the march as they came in? You know, that great march, the opening ceremony, all the countries coming in. It kind of reminds me of this march here, as they marched around the walls. And as they did that, number one, they were dedicating the walls and the gates. Now, they just didn't meet in the temple to dedicate the walls and gates. They actually walked on those walls and the gates so that they could see and touch them, what God had done. They couldn't have walked on top of those walls before. But now they could. They could see and touch the walls, what God had done. And they gave praise to God. And we need to, walk around and see what God is doing. So we can see and touch what God is doing. And then number two, in doing this, they were also bearing witness to the world what God had done. The work that God had done in 52 days. Unbelievable. Those walls were repaired. And He alone should be glorified. They offered praise to God. Not to Nehemiah. Not to the other. But they offered praise to God. And then number three, they had the opportunity to see the results of their labors and realize that the work had not been done by one person. They came together to do the work. And it belongs to God who must be used for His glory. This city, the walls that protect the city, all of this is for God's glory. You know, I was thinking about one of the Olympic athletes, and I don't know if you had opportunity to hear this, but Simone Manuel. She was the first African-American to be on the swim team. And not only was she on the swim team, which is the first. I don't know, you realize, it used to be people would do, if an African-American put their toe in the water, they would empty the pool of water. I mean, that was... Realize how far this is a big step. She's the first African-American to participate in the swim team. And as she finished, she wasn't expected to do anything, any medal. She finished first. She got a gold. Actually, it was a tie for first. And she realized that tears came down her eyes. And they asked her, they interviewed her and asked her, "What did you think?" And she said right away, and again, tears coming down her eyes, "To God be the glory. To God be the glory." And then number four, they stepped out by faith to claim God's blessing. As they walked around, God said to Abraham, "Rise, walk through the land, for I will give it unto you, unto thee." Abraham did some prayer walks. And then he said to Joshua, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you." Joshua did some prayer walks. And then I think probably one of the greatest example of a prayer walk is the march on Jericho. That was part of God's battle plan as He marched around that city of Jericho. And then the seventh day, they blew the trumpets. There was an example of a prayer walk and the walls of Jericho fell down. I don't know what obstacles you may be facing. Maybe during your lunch break, you walk around your place of work. There's some difficulties you're facing there at work. Make that your prayer walk. Or your neighborhood. Or walk around your house and pray for your family. Wherever you walk, you can make that a prayer walk. And pray for those that you are burdened to pray for. So I think this is an example. Before you can have a praise walk, you have to have a prayer walk. Does that make sense? Praise God, last week, 9 young people were baptized. But I believe that came as a result of the retreat where there was a prayer walk by several mothers praying for those young people. We praise God, we have the praise walk because we have the prayer walk. So whatever God burdens your heart for, make that your prayer walk. And then one day, God will let you do a praise walk. And then number three, the third thing, we give of our lives, we give of ourselves, we give of our praise, our mouth. We must give our offerings to God also. And the people had covenant with God to support the temple. And they kept their promises. The people brought their offerings. They brought their offerings not grudgingly. Oh, do I have to do this? I mean, really? No. Just like 2 Corinthians 9:7 reminds us, each of you should give not grudgingly or of necessity, but joyfully and gratefully. There ought to be, that word joyfully and gratefully is hilarious. This is a joyful thing to give. This is a joyful thing. I've seen some churches where the giving of the gifts was brought forward as part of their worship. And that was a joyful part of their worship. However you give, whether you drop it in the box or present it in the offering box or whatever, offering plate, give joyfully to God. Because our offerings please God. Philippians 4:18, the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. So, what is my heart attitude in giving to God? Is it joyfully? I give to Him joyfully? And realizing that He, because of the attitude of my heart, He also receives that gift. It is pleasing to God. So our application is very important. What will I joyfully dedicate to God? We need to start, first of all, I will joyfully dedicate myself. Just like Romans 12:1-2. Lord, here I am. Here is my body, everything I give to You. Here I am. Now those Olympic athletes, they dedicate themselves. They go through a lot of training. I mean, it takes a lot of dedication to be an athlete. It's not an easy thing, what they do. It's an amazing thing. But it's dedication. Now apply that to the spiritual area. I dedicate my life. The talents that God has given to you, the abilities that God has given to you, whatever you have, dedicate that to God. Dedicate to God your car. Have you ever thought about that? Whether it's an old car or a new car, God, I thank You for giving me this car. I dedicate it to You. Now, how can I use this car for Your glory? Now, when I was growing up and I was small, this was before vans, all right? And my family just had a regular 6-passenger car. Well, there were 4 of us children, and Mom and Dad. And we drove about 30 minutes to church, and we stopped every Sunday to pick up another family. They had 4 children and a mother. There was no father. And so I remember when I was young, up front, my dad drove, my mom sat there, and that other mother sat next to her. 4 of us kids were in the back seat, and they had 4 kids. You probably can't do this today. But all 4 of their kids, each of them sat on one of our laps. So we had 11 people in that little, well, normal-sized car, but it wasn't a van. Every Sunday, we would pick up that family. And to me, that left an impression. Dedicate your car to God. You can pick up people and bring them to church or bring them to an activity, a church activity. You can dedicate your car to God. You can dedicate your house to God. God, thank you for giving us this house. Whether it's big or small or whatever, thank you for giving us. How can I use this house for your glory? Maybe I can invite my neighbors over and get to know my neighbors. Maybe I can invite some others over, get to know them. All right? We've had 10 families here come to our house so far. And if you haven't come yet, you're on the list. All right? We'll be inviting you soon. If you've not been to our home, we enjoy having families come to our home. But dedicate our house to God. Here it is, God. How can I use this? Maybe to reach out to my neighborhood. Here is my house. Dedicate your time. Young people, you've started a new school year. I know. Can you not say, Lord, this school year, I dedicate to you. Each day as you wake up, have a time with God. Lord, this day is yours. I dedicate it to you. All right? So we're dedicating those things to God that really belong to Him. My mouth. I dedicate my mouth to God for praise, for giving of thanks. It's so easy to be critical. It's so easy to be complaining. But I dedicate my mouth to God to give Him glory and praise and my money, all that God has given to me. I willingly give what God moves upon my heart to give, and I give it joyfully. You see how this applies? Now, it's very important that we make the application. It's not what we know up here. It moves down to our heart. It affects our attitude. But it moves to our hands and our feet. It affects our actions. Lord, I give you my heart, but I also give you my feet and my hands. I give you my life. I give you my house, my car. However it can be used for your glory. Have you ever thought of that? Now, in concluding, I want you to think about this. What is the difference between involvement and commitment? We talked about spectators who just watch. Now we get involved. We're participating. Now let's take it to the next level of our participation, is we're really making that commitment. All right? Of helping others and reaching out. Now look, here's something for you to think about. All right? What's the difference? Well, look at a plate of ham and eggs. The chicken was involved, but the pig was committed. All right, think about that. It's not just looking on, but the chicken was involved. It gave some eggs, but the ham was involved. He gave his all. The pig was involved. He gave his all. All right. So maybe be encouraged to do that. In a few minutes, we're going to sing the song, Give of Your Best to the Master. But before we do that, we're honored today to have a visitor that I would like to introduce for you. All right? I'm sorry, there's the ham and the eggs. All right? And so we're honored today to have a visitor. And let me introduce her to you. And we have a... Jane Markham, and she is a 76-year-old American from Kansas who's provided a home for over 100 orphans in central China, Henan Province. And she came to China in the early 1990s to teach English, and she has been continuing there doing charity work in her spare time. And we're going to watch a short 4-minute video, and then she's going to come and say a few words to us.